Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on July 10th, 2016, and is entitled, Living Like There's No Tomorrow.
As we take hold of our Bibles, we're going to go ahead and also grab our bulletins. Can you find that bulletin in the back there? We still use a bulletin there, and lights are up, things are powered on. Yes. And you're going to see in the back of the bulletin is the outline of today's message. We encourage people taking notes because that invitation also comes with, would you kind of research the message today and get into a mini church? It's our life groups, our small groups, and we invite you to do just that. We are in a sermon series that is 1 and 2 Peter. It is entitled Building a Forever Faith, and we sure have been learning a lot from this man, Peter, that was a very close friend of Jesus. I mean, we have gathered encouragement because this guy seems to stumble along and make these proactive steps that just aren't right, but yet he keeps coming back. And in so doing, he just sees some amazing faith steps by him. And he's been with Jesus. And in these two epistles, he talks in such a way like, wow, you sure this guy was a fisherman? So when we take a look at today's message in our few verses that we look at, the title of the message is Living Like There's No Tomorrow. So here we go. Father, thank you. Lord, we want to thank you for the encouragement you bring, the direction you provide, and the life that comes as we gather around your word. Thank you, Lord, for doing just that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, talking about tomorrow, tomorrow is what comes after really yesterday, isn't it? Or we could say even today. It's interesting when we take a look at the tomorrows, we're so used to a number of our tomorrows coming on that we just take it for granted. How many know that? I mean, that's why somebody comes along and they're working hard on a project, say, you know what, I think I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'll finish this project tomorrow. We just assume it's going to come. But yet, there's a few of us that have had a lot of tomorrows. Some of us, if you were born like 2 days ago, tomorrow's going to be half your lifespan. Isn't that amazing? But there's others that just say, wow, you've had a lot of tomorrows. I remember in grade school, we had this substitute teacher. She was so pretty. And I remember one day she showed up, Miss Thompson. And she just says, it's my birthday and I'm 25. And I said, oh, she's so old. She's had a lot of tomorrows. And sometimes we just come along and say, wow, all these things that happen. Cute little boy talking to his grandfather and asked, not sure how these days string together. Grandpa, were you on Noah's Ark? And he said, oh, no, lad, I wasn't. And he said, well, then how is it that you didn't drown? Can you imagine? Still wondering what's going on there. But when we look and see, we see some things that are starting to be addressed by Peter as he's writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because his audience they're running for their life. They've been persecuted. Some have given their lives. Let's check it out. Would you follow along? I'm reading from the New King James. You may have that translation. You have another? It's great. Let's go ahead and follow along. Verse 7 to verse 11. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a great passage of Scripture. Start off here when we look and we start breaking down these verses. Isn't it interesting? We start off with there's a problem because Peter's statement, he says this in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. How in the world what is he talking about? Because when he wrote this was 2,000 years ago. How could that be? What are we dealing with? Because we do know in Scripture, we have Paul who's writing the consummation of all things, the end times, that day. We have John who says the same thing. Peter's now addressing this. They have certain things that they talk about. Jesus himself, we have in Revelations 22, 20, he says, surely I'm coming quickly. Wow, what is that all about? That's a great question. Probably the best example I've seen is C.S. Lewis and his writings of the Chronicles of Narnia. There's one volume, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. He comes along and it's Aslan that's speaking to Lucy. Lucy is one of those humans. Aslan represents Jesus. And Aslan says to Lucy, Lucy, don't be sad. We're going to meet together soon. And Lucy says, Aslan, please, what do you mean by soon? And Aslan says, all times to me is soon. We take a look at what it means that, behold, things are at hand, all the compilations of time. What most of these writers are addressing is the time from Jesus' first coming to the time of Jesus' second coming, his return. Therefore, at his cross and ascension, man, we really are in those latter times to his second coming. They're addressing, we're in it. We are in it. Most, as we see in the scriptures, the prophecies have been fulfilled. Things are coming to pass. There are a few that still are out there. I mean, Matthew 24, Jesus cites what it is. He starts talking about this is one of those areas. You said, when you see these signs, they're like labor pains for a woman about to give birth. In other words, when you see them increase and they become closer together, one of the signs are earthquakes. You know that my return is soon. So therefore, as we're looking here, we have Peter saying, but the end of all things is at hand. Wow. Well, but every generation needs to be aware, right? We should be living in anticipation and expectation. Jesus could be coming. The rapture of the church could happen today. It's in the volume of the book. It's something the early church was their great comfort, even in the midst of trial and difficulties and loss. He's coming again for us. It's something that we need to be aware of, and only the Holy Spirit can spark it in you and me and say, yeah, I've got to remember that. So, how should we live since we know that, boy, it's going to soon happen? Well, we're listing three things that we think Peter, by the Holy Spirit, puts down, and we're going to look them over. First, pray harder. Second, love deeper. Third, serve smarter. Let's take a look at number one. First point, pray harder. Verse 7, let's go back there again. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Letter A, because time is short, really, is the emphasis. Clarification here when he says the end of all is near. Isn't it interesting? He's not saying it's here. That's important. Sometimes we can read in that. The end of all things is here? It's now? No. It's near. We're in it. We're in that time frame. And man, so as we look at that, we could literally say the phrase being, we are moving in that direction. We are moving toward the end of the culmination of all things. So it's worth us to take a look at this. But when he comes in verse 7, check it out in your scripture. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all, be watchful. Be serious in your prayers. Where did he get that phrase? Well, most feel while he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. How many remember? We have in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. You can write it down. And Mark 14, Luke 22, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus comes along. And he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. Could you please watch with me 1 hour? He goes off. As you know, he's praying. One account, great drops of blood. He's in such agony, knowing what he's going to face for you. He comes back, and those dudes are cutting Z's. They are all knocked out. He says, couldn't you watch 1 hour and pray with me? So, wow, isn't that amazing? That's what he says in Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. The Spirit's willing. Man, I want to, there's something in me. I just want to get going in spiritual things, but the flesh is so weak, and so is yours. My flesh just doesn't want to do it. I know I should. I want to. There's something longing. That's your spirit. Is your flesh going to rise up and do it? Not unless you know how to keep it into check. So when we take a look here, prayer is a huge priority we need to have. It really sustains our life. It's so important. But there are times that in any situation, in any relationship, people lose passion. And maybe I could be talking to a few people that have lost a passion for prayer, and prayer becomes professional, or it's kind of like contained. I'll pray, I've got these little things I do. And it's not really a relationship going on with God in this room. It's not happening for you. Those things, you know, the average Christian, and forgive me, when we talk about prayer, most people get nervous when we talk about prayer. It's just an average thing. Because we're not keeping it up. We're not doing well at that. The average Christian prays per day 45 seconds. That's the average. That means probably including over your food. So how many words do you pray over your food and bless this food while you're wrapping and unwrapping that hamburger? Isn't that amazing? You just never know. So the average Christian, that culminates over the year 6 hours of prayer all year long. That same research group comes along and says that people will take their hobbies and their shopping mall experiences, and that averages out per year of 90 hours out of their year. Also, sporting activities, people will use 100 hours per year in sporting activities. Vacations, 120 hours. But prayer has 6 hours all year long. So when we see the scripture saying, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful. How? In your prayers. Somebody once said that a man can see farther on his knees than he can on his tiptoes. So as the Lord starts to speak to you and addresses things to you and me, but our relationships do erode. And it's worth reminding ourselves, Jesus said this to one big group of Christians in Revelation chapter 2. Go ahead and mark that down. I know you'll talk about it in your small groups. Verses 1 through 4. He says, I know your good works, your patience, your labor. I know everything about you, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. It's like, wow, you are busy, but you've left me behind. And when he says you left your first love, that literally means you walk out leaving. And prayer is a part of that. It happens in relationships. We just recognize that as such. There's not a counselor that hasn't experienced couples come in and say, you know, we just don't love each other like we once loved each other. How did that happen? Where did that go? What became of that young lady that used to have heartthrobs every time she heard the man's voice? What happened to that man that said, it's nothing for me to drive across town to deliver flowers, a bouquet of flowers? See, something happens in relationships, and we really want to say, man, prayer is that important aspect that we need. So let her be, because prayer is so powerful, it will sustain you. It sustains you more than anything else, your time with God in prayer. There have been many times, some of you even in this room, facing very catastrophic situations, and ask you, what has the Lord showed you? I'm not sure that's why I'm here. Well, then let's give you an assignment. Would you pray for 30 minutes for 7 days? Let's get back together. And in the middle of those days, just 30 minutes, converse with God, the burden lifts and God gives revelation. They're a changed person. It's a desperate day when it's a desperate day when a nation comes out from under God. Therefore, when we take a look at this, if in fact we are approaching the end of all things, let's be serious. Let's be fervent about our prayers and let's go for that. How important is that? So let's take a look here. Number 2, how about love deeper? Verse 8. Let's move on to verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So when we look here for a moment, it's interesting that love is an identification of people that have a relationship with God. Matter of fact, it sounds so clear because Peter's remembering a command that Jesus gave him. It's in John 14:34. And he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Not just kind of man, just the way I have a love for you, spread it around. Verse 35, that he comes along and he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. How? By your love for one another. In other words, man, that's a kicker for me because Jesus is giving the planet called Earth license to judge me whether I'm a follower of Jesus or not by how I love the Christians. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So when we take a look at something he's addressing here, and above all things, besides those prayers, since all things are coming to a conclusion, have fervent love one for another. So it's an identification mark. It's a birthmark for a Christian. Really, you are a disciple. Look how you're loving people lately. You never did that before. You were one stern dude. Look at the word fervent. Fervent love for one another. It's best translated love deeply. I've just said love deeper. That's literally what it means, love deeply. It's really a term that could be also said strenuously. It can be used fervently or strenuously in a horse race where that horse is digging as hard as it can to stretch and reach that goal. Strenuous. Also an athlete does the same thing. Stretch those muscles. You really want to say, give it all you got. That's the phrase that's coming out here. You give it all you've got. Hold nothing back. When it comes to loving people, give it all you got. Fervently. Ah, I get it. Because when those times come and say, I don't know that person. I don't want to love the unlovely. They're not perfect anymore. Man, they should know better. We withhold love. Love people like you're trying to win the Love Olympics. You're going for the gold medal in the loveology of life. Peace, brother. That's important. What do you do in the end of all? Man, you love fervently. It's the mark of Christians. Letter A, when others offend. A couple of things that Peter comes along and he says two things about love. He talks about two loves. One is love covers. And the other is that love recovers. Let's look at two of them. Letter A, when others offend. Verse 8, once again, check it out with me. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. That's an amazing thing. That is love that covers people's wrongs. He really is taking that from Proverbs 10, verse 12. That says, hatred stirs up strife, but love will cover all sins. See, there are people that will come along and they just really, somebody wrongs them and they have two choices. We all have two choices when we get wronged, and we will get wronged from time to time. We just, isn't that true? We either wrong somebody or we get wronged. That's just society. But we have two choices, cover it up or expose it, whatever that person has done. This kind of love we're looking at here, this kind of love, will not air the dirty laundry. Praise God. Will not expose a person, weaknesses, or cause humiliation. This love seeks to handle things privately, discreetly. There is a time to expose when wrong is done. There is a time. And the proper way is found in Matthew 18:15-17. You need to write that down. Some of the best discipleship coaching I've had is Matthew 18:15, when I've sat with people who have been offended and have just cut and run instead of talking it through. Matthew 18:15, when your brother sins against you, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. How? Him alone. Why would I want to do that? I don't want anything to do with him. Well, The verses before, Jesus is talking about the lost lammy, and you leave the 99 to go after that lost lammy. It's more of a heart of compassion for a backslidden lammy. That person offend me. I don't want any, I just cut his water off. Well, you can't. God's word says go after him, because that person, if they sinned or did you wrong, probably backsliding. You should at least check it out. If he hears you, you've gained your brother back. Man, he's going to be back in his right relationship with Christ. Goes on, Matthew 18, 15, 16. If he doesn't hear you privately, get two or three witnesses. Still encourage him, get it right, bro. You are really screwing up. Get it right. Sometimes the best disputes are all settled with just small groups, because you need to hear from the person, say, I'm so glad you brought that up. I didn't know that harmed you. Please forgive me. Sometimes our pride will allow us to harbor an injury, and we're no good to anybody. Matter of fact, we ourselves may be having our own sins withheld. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Forgive us, Lord, just like we forgive others. So your heartache and your despair, maybe depression, it all be over unforgiveness. Most physical healings come when people forgive everybody that's harmed them. Physical miracles happen when people forgive. To withhold, science will tell you, it festers and manifests in some diabolical deterioration of some major organ. And the best science can do, we'll just cut that out and hopefully it mends itself, and maybe a little radiation or chemo. So when we look here, we're saying, isn't it wonderful? So there is a time to go public, one-on-one, then two or three if they're still, and then they don't hear the smaller group, then widen a circle, still trying to reach out to that person. There are those that come along and they just really feel as if it's their pride that says, I need to uncover the injustice. Now, this is not happening in anything here. The church down the street. But it's worth noting, over the years, there are some groups that I've just called them the whistleblowers, but other names like the Gospel Gestapo, the Sin Sniffers. It doesn't take long to hang out with people and realize, you're not, who do you think you are, all this in a bag of chips? I know where your tinks in the armor are. So when we take a look at that, since the time is short, Scripture's clear. Love fervently. Letter B, when others are in need, which means recovering love. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, why would that bring in love? Well, the early church, they didn't have structures to meet in. They went from house to house, house churches. That's where they met. And tradition was, if a preacher or teacher was coming through town, you brought him into your house. You were hospitable to that person without grumbling. It really was more of a heart attitude that was rightfully displayed than just saying, well, I'll do what I need to do. So the question would be, how fervent is your love? How fervent is your love? I came across something. The country of Albania is noted for the hospitality, part of their culture. Their motto is, an Albanian house belongs to God and his guests. Isn't that cool? So how fervent is your love? Begin with your marriage, widen it out to family, go on to parents. How about children? How about your friends, your church? Sometimes I'm only going to stick with two people in my life. That's enough that I have love for. I've got to understand. There should be no person that is going through a loveless environment when there is one Christian in that setting. None. Greatest disease on our planet is not AIDS. It's not tuberculosis. It's not even cancer. The greatest disease we've got going on in our country is lovelessness. People are lonely. They don't feel what love is about. And if there's a Christian in the midst, that should never happen. We have enough love to go around. Romans 5:5 says that. that the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. You've been with God, you will love that person. If you don't, then we listen to the word that says, guess what? You've got to love your enemies. What? So when we take a look here, it's important. The biggest disease is going to be resolved. We're going to love fervently and maintain hospitality even without grumbling. So here we go. Here we go. We're going to pray harder. We're going to love deeper. And number three, we're going to serve smarter. Let's take a look at verse 10 and 11. Letter A, from your spiritual ability. It says here, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's really five truths that are here in this two verses. Five truths. I'm going to lay them out to you. I like it. It's very encouraging to me. I like my job as a pastor. I love what the Lord's called me to do. Ephesians 4, 10 and 11, basically, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. But this little passage, five truths are, number one, every Christian has a spiritual gift. Every one of us. That's what the verse really is saying. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it. So we all have that. Second truth is your gift may be different from somebody else's gift. That's really good. And I like that too, because our human tendency is we're going to become jealous because we do a comparison. That's anti-biblical. You don't do that. Don't do that. The Bible says those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. But if you have different gifts and they function differently, then there's no, you can't compare because you're just different. Very healthy reminding ourselves that. Number three, whatever gift you have, you should use it to help other people. It says minister it, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So we need to use that. Number four, true, some gifts are noticeable, others are unnoticeable, but all of them are helpful. Those gifts need to happen. Number five, the reason we share our gifts with other people is to glorify God. You say, well, that sounds nice, but that's what the verse is saying. To not use your gift, dear loved ones, there's a possibility of the glory of God being diminished in your life. Minister that gift, and the glory of God, the dominion of God, will be recognized by people. Says verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So let her be for the glory of God. So important. Hindering those gifts may hinder the display of God's glory in your life. So, everyone has a gift. Isn't it great? Man, tomorrow, we just anticipate tomorrow's going to come. That's why I say, I'll do it tomorrow. Who knows? Who knows? Wouldn't it be great to get everything right? Wouldn't it be great to say, Lord, I've wasted enough time. I am all in. I'm going for it. Let's welcome our worship team as they prepare. We want to send ourselves off singing. But what an important time that we have, you and me together, where we recognize, as the Scripture is encouraging us, what should we do knowing that the end of all things is at hand? God has no hands, He has no feet, no mouth. You are all those things to society. How will somebody discover that there is a God in heaven who loves them? Probably because you step forward with your gift. And if, in fact, let me just gently, ever so lovingly, because that's what a shepherd does, if, in fact, you've been injured in doing your gift, or you've been injured by people that haven't reciprocated enough to you, I pray the Lord heals you quickly. The Lord helps you get over that. You recognize the great love of God through the power of the shed blood of Jesus. Because the glory of God wants to be displayed upon your life. And I would just say, biblically, it's being diminished. The works of darkness isn't just interested in getting you disconnected and isolated and into loneliness. He's more interested in making sure God gets no glory out of a redeemed soul. Let's give him all we got. Even if it causes you to lose your head because of your testimony in Jesus. What a privilege that would be. I'm going to invite you. Would you stand to your feet, please? We're going to pray for you. And we do have some individuals and couples that are here to pray. Would you, prayer couples, station yourselves? Well, friends, what a great day to be together. Absolutely love seeing you and our guests who are here. Thrilled. Thank you for just giving your undivided attention. I know the Lord has you in His mind all the time. You've given a little bit of attention to God today. Man, let's keep it going. Watch how the Lord's going to do breakthroughs in your life. If, in fact, there are things that you want to surrender to God, we have these individuals up front to pray with you. I want to encourage you, come on down and just say, you know what? Not just for maybe healing, and God does do that, but just say, Lord, I need to have a breakthrough in my life. I just am irritated at people. I love you. It's people that's having and giving me such a difficult time. Well, Jesus died for people. Wouldn't it be great that He actually sends you back to those areas as an answer to your very own prayer? So you may want to tell somebody that. Get in with a mini church. Say, this is what God's speaking to me. I believe He can do it. I can't. I'm going to let Him. Well, let me pray you off a blessing. We always love when people give their lives to Jesus. We often offer that prayer publicly. Today you come forward, we'd love to pray with you as well. See you tonight at 6. Response. Here we go. Father, we love you. We thank you. And Lord, we're going to just let it rest, whatever you said to our souls and spirits that belong to God. And therefore, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. That, Lord, everyone who hears my voice, just let them walk out saying, what a great day and an outstanding week I'm going to have because I feel closer to the Lord than ever before. Something clicked today, and it helped me in a breakthrough stance so that I've completed more of my life to God. So, Lord, we want to thank you. Let the glory now come upon every person. Lord, don't let your presence diminish on anyone. It's not worth it to us to withhold a forgiveness, to hold a grudge. It's not worth it to just sell out your presence, oh Lord. And we want to add, may that be true for the United States of America. May forgiveness reign, and we understand it because the Christians are out there praying and demonstrating you are forgiven. We thank you for your mercy, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, everyone. Thank you. God bless you. Come up for prayer. Rest. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.